Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current social, political, prophetic events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. On this week's program, I'm going to pause the series I've been doing about the judgments of the Revelation and give an update on the ongoing investigation into the 2020 presidential election. Next week, I'll resume my series on the Revelation. Because the large media outlets have not reported on the election situation for political reasons. Most people believe the contesting of the 2020 election is over. Joe Biden won. Any dissent is useless. But that's far from the truth. There is still an active movement building a substantial case against the 2020 election results. And this movement has gotten a second wind now that last week, Arizona finished a forensic audit of the ballots and found that in Arizona, there were 74,000 more ballots than Arizona issued. These additional ballots use different ink and different paper. And this is not a right-wing conspiracy theory. This is fact. And with the Arizona results, now legislators are calling for forensic audits in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia. But you say, didn't these states already have election audits? Yes, but not forensic audits, where the integrity of the ballots themselves were examined, literally under a microscope, looking for evidence of ballots that were duplicated by a copying machine. The previous audits only counted the ballots, but that's useless. That could mean only recounting fake ballots. Any cheating in this election would have been done by inserting fake ballots into the count. The forensic audit in Arizona is a real game changer. And in the words of one notable politician, this is huge. And what we're going to be seeing over the next few months is a historic battle over election results, even though the media is trying to keep it quiet. Patriot groups are already beginning to organize Trump 1 rallies in various states to circumvent the mainstream media and get the word out. So the battle over the 2020 election is not dying out. It's just taking a pause, but it's coming back with a vengeance. And again, even though Democrats and social media giants, but I repeat myself, are working to silence anyone who questions the results of the 2020 election, their censorship is throwing fuel on the fire. Because if they had nothing to hide, why would they object to forensic audits? Their censorship becomes a clear indication of guilt in the court of public opinion. Now, apart from the political information here, there is a biblical spiritual lesson God would have us learn from all this. Remember, that's the point of this program, to look at current events in the light of Scripture, because God teaches us, God illustrates His truth about man and sin and judgment and redemption through current events on this stage we call the world. And election fraud is addressed by the biblical prophets. One text would be Daniel chapter 11, verse 21. In his place, a despicable person will arise, on whom the honor of kingship has not been conferred, but will come in a time of tranquility and seize the kingdom by intrigue. Well, in a moment, we'll break down what that verse means, what it means to seize the kingdom by intrigue. But first, a little bit more about what's going on. I've been tracking the news on this subject for the last 4 months, jotting down names and events, you know, just waiting for the right time to put it all together into a program. Specifically, waiting for the results of the Arizona audit. Because that audit would be the proof to convince the doubting, those who are sitting on the fence, and to re-energize those who are already convinced that the election was stolen. You can't make a case and move forward without proof. And good people in America have been waiting for the proof. The smoking gun. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 8. Do not go out hastily to argue your case. Otherwise, what will you do in the end when your neighbor humiliates you? Proverbs 18:13. He who gives an answer before he hears, it's a folly and shame to him. Deuteronomy 13:14. Then you shall investigate and search out and inquire thoroughly. If it is true, and the matter established, that this abomination has been done among you. So we may suspect an evil. We may know because of the nature of man that the evil exists. Any political party that promotes the killing of babies and homosexual perversion will lie and cheat and steal. Their basis for morality is pragmatism, so let's not be naive. But nevertheless, when it comes to making an indictment, we're to still wait for proof and evidence. God will bring it to the light. And, you know, this is one thing we should have confidence in, that nothing is hidden that will not be brought to light. Jesus, in giving instruction to his disciples before sending them out on their mission, told his disciples this concerning their opposition and persecutors. Matthew chapter 10, verse 26, therefore do not fear them, for there's nothing concealed that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be made known. So why did Jesus feel the need to let his disciples know this? Well, because the persecutors of the truth will operate by cover-ups and deceit. And it's going to be a frustration for God's people. But fear not, God will make sure their sin will find them out. Now, God may do this work of exposing the hidden things of darkness apart from us, but most often God works through us. He asks us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, to expose the deeds of darkness. And while you and I have been, you know, going about life, there have been hundreds of Christian activists involved in setting up these forensic audits in Arizona, in investigating the fraud in other states. This just didn't happen automatically. There have been Christian people petitioning their state legislators, fighting in courts, organizing equipment and staff for recounts. And, you know, I say Christian people because from most of what I've read, these are citizens with some sort of Christian testimony and Christian basis for morality. They're the ones behind these investigations. The secular Republican leadership has rolled over, done very little. It's Christians like Doug Mastriano in Pennsylvania that are leading the charge against election fraud. So Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, in regard to fighting against corrupt government, quote, the people who know their God will display strength and take action. Those who have insight among the people will give understanding to the many. Personally, I'm kind of put to shame and convicted by all of these Christians who are standing up while all we're doing is sitting behind our computers reading the news. You know, it's like we're watching a sports game between the Christians and the pagans, but we're not playing in the game. Now, of course, we may not all be Daniels and Josephs called into the civic arena, but we can all still send a check. We can all still vote. We can all still write our legislators. We can all attend rallies. We can spread the news on social media. And we can all give moral support to these patriots rather than just disparaging their work because we don't know what we're talking about. Well, my point is this. The truth is going to come out, but God supernaturally does this by motivating his people to do the work, to bring the truth to light. We're to be the salt of the earth. Now, practically, as far as the truth coming out, if the left cheated in 2020, it had to be a coordinated effort by a large group of insiders. They would have had to have printed thousands of fake ballots and inserted them in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Georgia, and Arizona, in all of these swing states. There would have had to have been ballot drops in the night. And now someone could have manipulated the numbers in the software, which would be much easier, but that would not be enough. There had to be a coordinated effort to print fake ballots to match the totals. Now, for me, and probably for you, this seems very unlikely, because who would have the chutzpah to be able to do that? But remember, this isn't simply about people electing their favorite politician. This is about money. Getting millions of dollars in funding for your organization from the federal government, keeping your government social job. The $1.9 trillion COVID relief stimulus package passed by the Democrats that had little to do with COVID, but it funded all sorts of Democrat social operations. And now the Biden administration is proposing $3.5 trillion in an infrastructure rebuilding plan. And that's just not about roads and bridges. But the money is going to be for social programs and for grants to Democrat social organizations. But that's all a side note. My point is that so many people had to be involved in fixing the 2020 election that eventually someone's going to squeal. Mistakes had to be made. The numbers are not going to add up. These fake ballots are going to be exposed. We're not talking about a few votes or double voting or voters not being registered on time. We're talking about the dumping of millions of fake ballots into the system. And with a forensic audit, that should be easy to find. And there should be no doubts afterwards. On election night, President Trump was ahead in Pennsylvania by 700,000 votes. The tabulating was mysteriously halted. And then over the next 3 days, that lead was erased and Biden won. If there are fake ballots injected into the Pennsylvania system, they will be easily discovered if there's a forensic audit. Again, not just a recount, but a forensic audit that looks for ballots on different paper and with different ink. And if the political left has nothing to hide, they should be all for a forensic audit, because these audits will finally put to the rest any doubts about the 2020 election. But in Maricopa County, Arizona, the Board of Electors there, all Democrats, for the past 3 months have been bringing in lawyers and doing everything possible to stop this forensic audit. The audit was finished 2 weeks ago, and since there was discrepancy in the numbers between the first audit conducted by the Democrats and this second audit, forensic audit, conducted by those who opposed the results, the Arizona State Senate started a third audit just to confirm whose count was right. Those results should be coming out next week. But in the meantime, the Arizona State Senate, which has a majority of Republicans, held hearings to review the results of the forensic audit. And the results were: there were 74,243 mail-in ballots with no clear record of being sent out. Thousands of ballots were either missing serial numbers or had unreadable serial numbers printed over dark black ballot identification boxes. 11,326 people who voted did not show up on the November 7th ballot rolls. Now, this is a state where Trump lost to Biden by only 10,500 votes. It's a state that only voted Democrat for Woodrow Wilson, Roosevelt, Truman, and Bill Clinton's second term. The state registered 103,000 more Republican voters than the Democrats in 2020. And it's a state where the Republicans control the governorship, the state Senate, and the state House. That's why this forensic audit is being done in Arizona. There's enough Republican legislators to require it. If there is cheating, the cheaters picked the wrong state. But in Arizona, Maricopa County is a Democrat stronghold, and the election board there has been withholding all sorts of information needed to fully complete the forensic audit. Computer login passwords, chain of custody documents, computer logs, the turning over of voting machines. And it's no wonder, with 74,000 ballots having no documentation. The election board is either incompetent or criminal. So, of course, they're going to die on this hill because if fraud is discovered, It's not only a federal crime, but the entire authority of the Biden administration will be undermined. Given the audit results last week, one Arizona senator, Wendy Rogers, has called for a new 2020 presidential election in Arizona and demanding that the election that took place in November be decertified. So, with these new Arizona results, I have some articles here. Breaking: Wisconsin Republican Representative Ramthune calls for forensic audit procedure added to scope of state audit after seeing Arizona and Georgia results. Also, Forbes magazine: after Arizona's audit, is Pennsylvania next? State Senate reportedly begins push for a privately funded election probe. And Republican legislators in Pennsylvania have asked the two counties in question to open their ballots for investigation. Otherwise, they're going to be subpoenaed. The Democrat governor and the Democrat attorney general in PA have said that they will do everything in their power to prevent these forensic audits. And last week, after this call for a forensic audit in Pennsylvania was announced, Joe Biden went to Philadelphia to give a very peculiar speech. He railed on and on about how the claims of the 2020 election being fraud is the great lie. Now, Biden didn't provide any proof. It was just sloganeering. But apparently, the Democrats in power are afraid of what these audits might uncover. And they are doing and will do everything in their power to stop them. I'll cover more about this in my YouTube this week. And more about how the social media giants are operating as agents of the Democrat Party. When the Arizona State hearings about the findings in the forensic audit were being broadcasted live on YouTube, YouTube shut it down, saying it was a violation of their terms of service. If you question the 2020 election, Facebook, Twitter, Google, YouTube will claim that you're spreading disinformation. I mean, how do they know it's disinformation? Because they've chosen to believe that the truth is that Biden won. No debate is allowed. And this is a very scary time in American history. And from all this, we learn what unprincipled politicians who control the media are capable of doing. So the spiritual lesson so far is that evil people cheat. Second, that evil people with an agenda cover up the truth. Third, the truth will always come out. And fourth, it won't come out automatically. God calls his people to expose the hidden things done in darkness. But now let's look back at that biblical prophecy about a despicable person coming to power by intrigue. Daniel 11:21. In his place, a despicable person will arise, on whom the honor of kingship has not been conferred, but he will come in the time of tranquility and seize the kingdom by intrigue. Now, this prophecy is about the Antichrist, that coming demonically inspired world leader spoken about in the New Testament books of the Revelation, the book of Matthew, 2 Thessalonians, 1 John, and also in the Old Testament book of Daniel. Now, even though this is a prophecy about the Antichrist, all Bible students know that it has application for every age. As even the Apostle John writes in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, children, it's the last hour, and just as you've heard that Antichrist is coming. So the early New Testament church understood that there would be an Antichrist. But then John goes on to say, even now, many Antichrists have appeared. Well, the point is that there have been many kings and presidents and Caesars who have been forerunners and foreshadowers of the Antichrist. So what we read about someone who has not had the honor of kingship conferred, but has come to power by intrigue, is something that Christians in every generation should look for. Illegitimate leadership. Christians should understand that the ungodly will cheat. Whatever conventions a country has in determining its leadership, whether that be by vote or by heritage or by councils, ungodly people will cheat the system. Expect it. Now, I said in Daniel chapter 11, verse 21, that this text about this despicable person is a prophecy about the Antichrist. but it's actually more complicated than that. Daniel 11. His prophecy is about the pagan kings that will arise and persecute the Jews. During the time between the Jews' return to Israel in about 500 BC and the coming of Christ in Bethlehem. The despicable person in Daniel chapter 11 is Antiochus Epiphanes, who ruled over Syria and Israel from 175 to 164 BC. He worked to wipe out Jehovah worship. He defiled the temple in Jerusalem. He offered a pig on the altar and set up an image to Zeus. He outlawed all Jewish customs and biblical mandates. The celebration of Hanukkah is a rededication of the temple after Antiochus was defeated. And Antiochus's defilement of the temple in about 170 BC becomes a type or foreshadowing of a greater despicable person in the future who will also defile the temple. That is the Antichrist. And his abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, Daniel 9:27. So like Antiochus, on whom the kingship has not been conferred, but will come to power by intrigue, so also the Antichrist. And back in Daniel chapter 8, we have another description of Antiochus and the Antichrist. Verse 23, in the latter period of their rule, when the transgressors have run their course, a king will arise, insolent and skilled in intrigue. His power will be mighty, but not by his own power. And he will destroy to an extraordinary degree and prosper and perform his will. He will destroy mighty men and holy people. And through his shrewdness, he will cause deceit to succeed by his influence. And he will magnify himself in his heart, and he will destroy many while they're at ease. He will even oppose the prince of princes, but he will be broken without human agency. So isn't it fascinating that God warns his people that he wants them to know that evil will come to power by skill, by intrigue, by shrewdness, by deceit and influence? Well, what does it mean to come to power by intrigue? It's not a commonly used Hebrew word. The King James Version translates it flattery. The Hebrew word refers to smoothness or slipperiness, a smooth tongue. And the word picture describes being deceitful. Now, according to history, Antiochus came to power illegitimately by working a plot to murder the two other legitimate heirs to the throne. He cheated. And even though all authorities are established by God, there are obedient authorities and there are disobedient authorities. And God allows the disobedient authorities to get into power by lying, deceit, manipulating, and then God punishes those authorities. It's not as if all is fair in war and politics, or let the most clever candidate win. God expects moral behavior. It's never right to do wrong in order to get a chance to do right, or even to put yourself in the place of authority. In Scripture, in these prophecies, God wants us to know that the sign of evil civil authorities is that they get into power by cheating. And I'll talk about this further in my YouTube edition of this program. But actually, this week I expect YouTube to take down my program because I'm questioning the election results. So instead, you can find this video, this YouTube of this program, on rumble.com. But for easier access, the program website for all the links is godandcountryradio.org. Thanks for listening today. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, as you commanded us, help us to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. Help us to understand the evil in this world and in ourselves, so that we may repent and be saved. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.